The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
It is Tuesday, February the 11th, 2025. It is 10:01 a.m. here in London. I believe it has just gone. Is it midday where you are, Peter?
Exactly, yes.
Excellent. What happens, ladies and gentlemen, is the thing that South Africa do well is they do not change their clocks during the year. And so when our clocks change, sometimes I'm 2 hours behind Peter and sometimes I'm 1 hour behind Peter. So I was just checking that. I thought it was the two. At least I got that right. So, Peter, thank you so much for joining us for our Tuesday programme. Now, what we have for you today, a presentation I'm very much looking forward to, very topical, the real story of how USAID reveals the conspiracies that are no longer a theory. So, Peter, where would you like to start us off with today's timely topic?
Well, USAID has been exposed to a funded perversion and subversion, revolutions, coups, wars, and even pandemics worldwide. And there's so much that's come out of this DOGE, this Department for Governmental Efficiency, to get rid of waste and fraud, mismanagement in US taxpayer departments. So to ensure that the government operates efficiently and to avoid wasting vast amount of taxpayers' money, President Donald Trump promised to get rid of wasteful, unnecessary expenditure. And to this end, he launched the businessman and tech innovator Elon Musk to investigate. And what they did was quite clever. They put a pause for 90 days, 3 months, a pause on all American foreign spending. And I think this was to flush out the frauds, because they then looked for who's ignoring the executive order and continuing to send out foreign checks. And when they saw USAID screamed the loudest and ignored the order the most, that's the first place they investigated, and they uncovered a can of worms. In fact, Elon Musk described the USAID, and I must correct, normally we call it USAID, but it's actually USAID, because it stands for Agency for International Development. There is no aid in USAID, as Elon Musk said, and Elon Musk said it's a criminal organization. He went thinking there might be an apple in the worm in the apple, but there was no apple. He said it's just a ball of worms. And President Trump described USAID as being run by a bunch of radical lunatics, and that's well said. And a U.S. Agency for International Development has now been closed down. It was full of wasteful spending and widespread mismanagement, to put it nicely. There's a whole lot of bizarre things, but one of the most bizarre, can you believe it, was $2.5 million to fund a study on the fertility of transgender mice. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I think Monty Python wouldn't have even thought of parodies like this. So according to the press secretary of Donald Trump, $1.5 million went to advance DEI in Serbian workplaces, $70,000 for a promotion of a DEI musical in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru, millions for transgender surgeries in Guatemala. I mean, really and truly. One of the most bizarre is vast amounts of money going to the Taliban in Afghanistan to fund irrigation systems for the opium and heroin growing plants. and feels. I mean, I'm sure we all want to be sure that Afghanistan provides good quality of heroin and opium for us all. And USAID's got a public side, then it's got a private side. And the light side is the public relations. Look at the good work we're doing and all this sort of thing. But there's a dark side that's now been uncovered of huge amounts of subversion that's been done. So on the surface, USAID is supposed to be a mechanism for providing aid to foreign nations. And it's sold as a way of helping people or improving relations with countries for future compliance to US foreign policy. So what's been discovered is USAID's been essentially a slush fund for politicians, for the CIA, for NGOs, non-governmental organizations, both domestic and abroad. 2 Peter 2:19 says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. And there's so much unbelievable garbage that's gone on. But what we've discovered from this USAID scandal is they have been funding wars. They've been funding subversion. They've been funding perversion. A huge amount of USAID has gone to promoting abortions, LGBTQ, Happy Pride Month, a whole lot of things. USAID has promoted the LGBTQ agenda. It's been funding perversion worldwide. And just to go back to, for example, 2013, when a U.S. Agency for International Development embarked on a shocking abuse of U.S. taxpayers' dollars, which we exposed at that time, $11 million to train homosexual activists throughout Africa. And according to the Washington Blade, the main D.C. gay newspaper, they praised President Obama for creating an army of international lobbyists for same-sex marriage and for anti-discrimination laws, so-called, and homosexual rights or privileges for perverts around the world. And according to USAID, the first phase was to focus on developing nations in Africa that opposed homosexuality. Well, factually, out of the 55 countries in Africa, 54 ban homosexuality, and it's a crime. In all the countries of Africa, only South Africa, sadly, allows homosexual perversion and gives it special status and rights, privileges for perverts, as a court, or even recognizes the concept of homosexual marriage, which has got to be mentioned in inverted commas, because there is no such thing as homosexual marriage. Marriage, by very definition, has got to be between a man and a woman. And you cannot change the definition of marriage. It's something the Creator has built into creation. And this is true not only for people, but for all animals as well. And so amongst the worst kind of abuse that has been funded by USAID has been huge amounts of experimentation on animals, trying to turn animals into transgender. They put millions and millions into torturing animals. I mean, it's real animal abuse. It's cruelty to animals. Surgeries, which include castrations and all kinds of bizarre stuff, in order to create what you don't get in nature, which is a transgender animal. And then they do experiments on them, such as the fertility of transgender mice, as just one of the ridiculous examples. But what we had was USAID has become something of a gay GB. Think of what the KGB did in order to bludgeon Christians. Well, it seems that the USAID and the deep state behind these characters, the World Economic Forum and so on, have been using the homosexual lobby as a stick with which they can beat the church. It's launching a new inquisition, like the Pink Inquisition, I call it, in my book, The Rise of the KGB and the Pink Inquisition. What the KGB used to do to persecute the church, the gay agenda, the LGBTQ plus agenda, has been used to bludgeon the church and to persecute Christians. You're a homophobic, bigot, anti-Semitic, racist, and homophobic, Islamophobic, and so on, if you dare question their agenda. And so if you say something as simple as, well, there's only two genders, or marriage can only be between a man and a woman, that can get you deplatformed, it can get you banned, it can get you kicked out of university, it can even have professors deplatformed, kicked out, lose their tenure, be fired from universities, and so on. And so what we've got today is a whole new agenda of promoting perversion, and USAID has been found to be the slush fund that made that possible. Well, you'll recall there's a whole lot of things that they would deplatform you from in the censorship. And Mark Zuckerberg has admitted that he employed thousands of censors, what he called fact checkers. Interesting, you didn't need fact checkers until the truth started to get out. And they're not fact checkers, they actually are censors. And what we have seen is that Mark Zuckerberg admitted that they deplatformed hundreds of thousands of people and they removed 8 million posts just in the year 2020. He says he did this because he's been bullied by the CIA and the FBI and so on. But nevertheless, Facebook has now admitted there was shadow banning. For years, I heard people saying there's no such thing as shadow banning and no, you're not being shadow banned. And yet we had this bizarre thing where we were getting tens of thousands of shares and likes and reaching hundreds of thousands of people with a single post on some of our pages. And then suddenly, absolutely throttled and almost no movement at all. And that was in 2020. That was plainly when Mark Zuckerberg launched the so-called fact checkers. I would post something about, for example, the lockdown lunacy, masquerade madness, salvation by vaccination, COVID cult. And within seconds, it was removed as fact checkers have found this to be false. Well, the fact checkers couldn't have even read the post in that time because there was more in the post than anyone could have read in those few seconds. And it would be instantaneous. It was obviously an algorithm. And they looked for keywords. And the moment you said something that went against the narrative, they blocked you. And I found a whole lot of my pages absolutely throttled and shadow banned. And there's no doubt whatsoever it happened. And now we found out that not only has USAID been funding a lot of the so-called fact checkers like Snopes and so on and Verify, who've often found what we've said to be false, even though we had the facts. Even when I posted eyewitness things I personally saw and facts, and then their fact checkers would say, you know, fake and so on. Well, it turns out that USAID was funding the checkers. And it got so bad that, in fact, we've now discovered USAID was funding and subsidizing to the tunes of millions a whole lot of media. And we've got the facts now. Over 2,600 journalists were being paid by USAID. And not only that, but they were also funding basically over 700 different media outlets, radio, TV, newspapers, and so on. Absolutely extraordinary. Major news outlets that we thought were independent. Well, maybe you and I didn't think so, but a lot of other people might have thought that. So, for example, Politico was getting huge amounts of money. Politico got $34 million from various government agencies. And New York Times got $50 million from various government sources, including a staggering $26 million just from Health and Human Services. Associated Press received $19 million in government contract and $619,000 in grants from the Department of State. And their funding spiked in election years of 2020 and 2024. That's Associated Press. Reuters, which you would have thought is meant to be prestigious and reliable, $9 million just from the Department of Defense for active social engineering defense and large-scale social deception. Quote, unquote, large-scale social deception fund from Department of Defense. Reuters got $9 million for that. Even the British government TV, BBC, or the Biased Broadcasting Corporation, which gets automatic funding from the state and from licenses, which I believe are not optional. I believe it's compulsory in Britain. People must subsidize this government propaganda agency, which was the inspiration for George Orwell's 1984. In fact, George Orwell said, you know, he based Mini-Truth or the Ministry of Truth on the BBC, the whole propaganda department of the futuristic 1984 novel. Well, not only does BBC get government funding and compulsory subscriptions from people who need television licenses, but they received $3.3 million from USAID and $20 million from Bill Gates. So much for this independent media. We wondered why the legacy media and the mass media, the so-called mainstream media, which is the lamestream media, why they all sounded so much the same. Well, they're funded by the same people, they're directed by the same deep state. And these media outlet narratives are carefully orchestrated, and they're designed to influence public opinion, political outcomes, elections. It's fake news. And I think it's very revealing. You know, the people who said that we've got that the so-called independent press is not that independent, and it's actually being funded and supported by the state. Well, now the facts that have come out of USAID, yes, in fact, millions upon millions of dollars was being given to 6,200 journalists worldwide in 707 news outlets in 30 different countries, right down to South Africa. We've had USAID funding the press, and even sometimes charging a journalist to do a hit piece or a video documentary on different people. And I've known this because it's been done to me too. And I actually had a correspondent journalist in South Africa come up to Sudan to our mission base and want to do a documentary on the war in Sudan. And he admitted to us after we got bombed on a Sunday morning service that actually he was sent by SABC with the specific injunction, do a hit piece on Peter Hammond, destroy him, destroy his credibility. And he was all prepared to do that. And what changed his mind was being in a church where we got rocketed, bombed, and under artillery bombardment during a Sunday morning service. And it's amazing how that can change your perspective. And he ended up doing a very positive video documentary on us called 3 Days in Sudan, which he later gave us the rights to distribute because SATV wouldn't broadcast it, because you could see while he starts out cynical and skeptical, he has a dramatic conversion after bombing and starts to be very admiring of us and the Christians in Sudan and what's being done by our mission frontline fellowship in this war zone. So that was just one person who had been told by a government agency that takes compulsory licenses from all people owning a TV set in the country, that he was told by this government propaganda agency to do a hit piece on me. Well, now it turns out that USAID was not just funding a lot of journalists who massively affected the elections in the past in America. For example, the Politico magazine, they particularly got rewarded after laundering the Biden campaign laptop disinformation. The Hunter Biden laptop was Russian plant disinformation and so on. And that nobody really could believe that. And even the people from the FBI who signed that document knew it wasn't true. And that's come out from whistleblowers since. But Politico was the magazine that laundered the actual disinformation campaign that the others could then quote from in the more respectable mass media. And they got $34 million to do that, which arguably dramatically influenced the election, because if people had known about the Hunter laptop, it would have dramatically changed perceptions of Joseph Biden and his presidential campaign if they'd known about the phenomenal corruption, particularly in Ukraine. Which brings up the other interesting thing, that the country that receives the most USAID money in the world is Ukraine. And for good reason. Ukraine was very much a USAID and State Department creation. So the war in Ukraine can be directly laid at the door of USAID and the US State Department. And there's not much difference between the State Department and USAID. USAID is very much an arm of the State Department to help bring about the political results in countries they're trying to interfere with. And a lot of it's got to do with economics, particularly corruption for crime families like the Biden family, where they got millions out of Ukraine and out of the war there and out of all kinds of very suspect deals where Hunter Biden would end up on the board of different companies that he had no experience in, no involvement in, and he'd get paid millions for being able to get the vice president at that time, Joe Biden, to approve the expenditure of not just millions, but billions of dollars into Ukraine. And the U.S. State Department admitted, in fact bragged, that they'd spent $5 billion, that's $5 billion with a B, on setting up radio, TV stations, newspapers, political party, and so on in Ukraine, and then organizing and orchestrating the Mayan revolution, the coup d'etat that overthrew the elected government in Ukraine back in 2014. And you may recall that in 2014, Ukraine had a government that was not only friendly with Russia, but had laws against homosexual perversion and the grooming of children. And next thing, America gets their candidate, who is this pervert comedian, Zelensky, to take power as a result of this coup. And he is plainly a corrupt politico in the pocket of the U.S. State Department. And interestingly, Zelensky immediately brought in laws legalizing homosexuality. And so was the whole war just basically about advancing the LGBTQ agenda, which seems to be what the head of MI6 in Britain said when he sent out a tweet saying, we must keep fighting in Ukraine. We must keep fighting in Ukraine because this war is about what distinguishes us from totalitarian dictators like Vladimir Putin, and none more so than the LGBTQ rights. So this isn't just the Russians saying that the war in Ukraine is about America waging genocidal warfare against countries that don't have a gay pride march, but even the head of MI6 in Britain said this is all about LGBTQ rights. So that's intriguing. But USAID put billions, not millions, billions of dollars into Ukraine to bring about the change of government in 2014, which directly led to the war because the government in Ukraine banned Russian language in schools, even for people who were overwhelmingly Russian, that was their home language. And this led to the provinces in the eastern Donetsk region of Ukraine to secede from Ukraine. And then for 9 years, 14,000 people were killed in Ukraine, civilians mostly, as the Ukraine army bombed, rocketed, strafed, attacked by aircraft, artillery barrages, even into civilian accommodation, apartments, and so on. So when Russia finally got involved in late February 2022, the people in the eastern Donbass region of Ukraine welcomed them as saviors. And there were literally celebrations in the streets welcoming the Russian army coming in at last, intervening to stop this attack on Russians in Ukraine by the Zelensky government. Just a few other interesting notes about this war for democracy in Ukraine. The government of Ukraine is no longer democratic. Zelensky banned all other political parties except his own. He banned all media except the government-controlled media. And he has even killed political opponents. And he has banned an entire Christian denomination. The Ukrainian Orthodox Church has been banned in Ukraine. So what kind of democracy is the West fighting and funding in Ukraine when they don't even allow elections? Elections have been cancelled because, well, the war, you know, we can't hold elections right now. And so even though America managed to hold elections during the Second World War, interesting that they can't hold elections in Ukraine while they're fighting for democracy. And so here you've got someone who's obviously not Democrat. And before Zelensky became president, he was a comedian. And one of his disgusting spectacles was being naked on a stage in front of a live audience while playing a piano with his private parts. I mean, what kind of sicko pervert wants to do that sort of thing in a mixed audience of men and women laughing probably out of embarrassment? But, you know, that's the president, the Winston Churchill of Ukraine. And, well, this is just one of the shockers, but there's more shockers than that. So, yes, USAID helped fund the regime change that led to the war in Ukraine. But even more than that, they put $40 million into the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Red China, which, by the way, is owned and run by the People's Liberation Army, the National Army of Red China. And the general in charge of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the Bacteriological Warfare Laboratory in Wuhan, China, is a general in the People's Liberation Army who's the author of the book Irregular Warfare, where he argues we are at West. China is at war with the West, particularly with the United States of America. And we can't beat them in conventional warfare. We cannot beat them in nuclear warfare, but we need to use irregular warfare like viruses and biological chemical warfare in order to break down the will of the Americans to resist. And the head of the Chinese intelligence department runs the smuggling of fentanyl and cocaine and heroin and so on into the United States of America. that used to be run by the KGB and by the head of security in Cuba, and that's been documented in the book Red Cocaine. But now it's Red China who's running the drug trafficking into the United States of America, which I think could be seen as what you sow is what you reap. Because you may recall that there was a time when Britain actually organized the smuggling of heroin, opium into China, when China was very closed and isolationist, and the Rothschild family of Britain running the Bank of England wanted to get trading with China. They cooked up the idea of growing drugs in India and smuggling them into China. And when the Chinese fought against this, mobilizing the Navy to stop this drugs trafficking into China, the Royal Navy was mobilized in the Opium War of 1840 to be effectively a private security company for the Rothschild drug industry and enable the Rothschilds to continue to smuggle drugs into China to make addicts who would be willing to then trade, because China wasn't interested in anything the West had to offer. And the West wanted their silk and spices and other things like that, and thought up the scheme of, well, we'll use drugs then. And so considering that at one time Britain was involved in the smuggling of drugs into China, it's interesting now that China is organizing the smuggling of drugs into the United States and Europe. So intriguing experiences. These are the kinds of bizarre things that one learns. But back to our dear friends of USAID. USAID has been found to have been funding some of the most bizarre evil things on the planet, including the Arab Spring. And this is what really gets me as a Christian and as a missionary, that you've got the massive chaos caused in 2012 in the Arab Spring, which toppled stable governments in Tunisia and Egypt and started the war in Syria. This was funded by USAID, who put millions into the so-called color revolutions using cell phones to mobilize. They said the first revolution organized by cell phones, Facebook, Twitter, all these other social media platforms. And USAID was in the forefront of organizing this so-called spontaneous public demonstration movement that swept North Africa, which was not an Arab Spring. It was a Christian winter. Now, this is why I say USAID has been used to increase persecution of the church and to mobilize more hostility to Christianity worldwide. Because in the Arab Spring, they not only toppled stable governments like Egypt, but then they brought to power persecutors of the church like Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. So the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt was described by the Egyptian government before as a terrorist organization. And that's what they were. And the president of Egypt at the time, Mubarak, had police organized outside every, and army mobilized to protect every church, every mission station, every monastery, Bible society, shop, and so on in Egypt, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Mubarak did this because he knew the Muslim Brotherhood would attack the Christians if he didn't protect them. And so the churches were stable under Mubarak, but after Barack Hussein Obama and his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who we call Billary Clinton out here in Africa, when they organized the Arab Spring. And remember, USAID was funding big screens and video projectors in the big marketplaces, squares of Egypt and Tunisia, where Obama was whipping up the people literally on the screen to get out there and topple their stable governments. And so you had the Muslim Brotherhood, who is a terrorist organization, being described by Hillary Clinton as a force for peace and moderation in the Middle East. I mean, you can't make this up. This is more bizarre than you could imagine. The Muslim Brotherhood had assassinated President Anwar Sadat of Egypt for making a peace treaty with the State of Israel, for which he got publicly assassinated in 1981 by the Muslim Brotherhood. It was quite dramatic. Maybe you've even seen the videos where there's President Sadat sitting in his presidential box, reviewing his army on a march past him. And then a group of soldiers arrive on the back of a truck, start to machine gun the presidential box, not only killing the president, but his entourage as well. very public, very ugly. And so the Muslim Brotherhood was banned in Egypt as a terrorist organization. And now the USAID funded this terrorist organization to get to power. And in the first weekend that USAID's Muslim Brotherhood took power, 76 churches in Egypt were ransacked, bombed, burned, destroyed. Many Christians killed. Christians started to get beheaded and so on because the U.S. State Department was funding this regime change, which led to dramatic persecution of Christians. Christians getting beheaded, churches getting burned and bombed, absolutely hideous, mass funerals for Christians being murdered. I saw pictures sent to me by friends in Egypt, stop the Christian genocide in Egypt, stop the killing of innocent Christians in Egypt now. Obama supports terrorism. Mr. Obama, your allies are burning our churches and killing Copts in Egypt. Stop your support of terrorism immediately. And then even pictures posted by the Egyptians of President Obama stating with his finger pointing up, we don't negotiate with terrorists. The next picture's got him laughing away saying, we fund them. And that's what the people of Egypt were saying. They understood what was going on here. USAID funded, organized, mobilized the Arab Spring, which turned the Middle East into a very hostile area for Christians. Now, just imagine Christians who had survived over 1,000 years of Islamic rule in the Middle East and were still living there, either were killed or fled in 2012, thanks to Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton's funded Arab Spring, which USAID put billions into. And so here we've had a whole lot of conspiracy theories, which are now proved not to be theories at all because of information that's come out from USAID raid. And just to look back at why would the BBC in Britain be getting money from USAID? Well, apparently it got £2.6 million, that's over $3 million, in just 2023 into 2024, to train journalists from the third world to help improve communications in the world's poorest countries. Now, what does that mean? It means indoctrinating and training journalists to be more subversive and more anti-Christian in countries like my own, in South Africa, and throughout the continent of Africa where our mission works. So BBC has got a group, an organization called BBC Media Action, and they say USAID is their second largest donor, and that would be after Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the biggest donor. And so this British taxpayer funded organization, media agency, is directly involved in putting millions into indoctrinating and brainwashing and mobilizing journalists in the third world to be able to communicate what? Evolutionism, secular humanism, situation ethics, abortion, LGBTQ perversion. I mean, you name it. Socialism, all sorts of things that they're learning, but none of it is actually helping the countries concerned. So it seems to me that our conspiracy theories are all running out. What we need now is some new conspiracy theories, because all of our conspiracy theories have now become conspiracy facts. Just take the US biolabs in Ukraine. There are dozens of American biological warfare laboratories around the world, including in Ukraine, a massive concentration in Ukraine. They've even got some in Sudan, for goodness sakes. And you'd wonder, what are they doing there, and why is USAID funding them? Well, it gets better than that. The USAID gave $40 million to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, to produce a COVID virus that had spike proteins and was made 10,000 times more contagious than would be in nature. Now, why would you fund that? Why would you want that? Why would you specify and request that? And it makes you wonder how much of the lockdown lunacy, masquerade madness, salvation by vaccination was also funded and coordinated by USAID. When our freedom of religion, freedom of movement, freedom of worship was all infringed, more churches were closed. 2 million churches were closed during the COVID lockdown of 2020. Then all the churches closed down by Nero, Stalin, Mao Zedong, and all the other persecuted church combined. I mean, just absolutely staggering. And it makes you wonder again just how much of the evil things going on in our world today have been funded by the deep state. And by the way, USAID is a major funder of the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab's organization got not millions, billions from USAID. So USAID is a slush fund for politicos, and it is the slush fund to end all slush funds. And closing that down is a tremendous blow for freedom, freedom of speech. We can only hope and pray that this is going to wake people up who up till now have thought, you know, the news media is giving us news, but it's actually in many cases it's giving indoctrination, distraction, deception. And I think this is time for us to pay attention to the fact that there is a deep state, and to think they've actually been stealing from the public treasury, literally stealing from the public treasury, plundering, pillaging the treasury to fund our own destruction. Do you think we have been paying for our enemies to destroy our livelihood, to destroy our families, our children, to think that they can literally take tax money from, in many cases, good, decent people, and so abuse it, so misuse it, that we find that we've actually been funding our own destruction. This also explains why leftist organizations never lack money. We lack money. We often struggle. We sometimes have struggled to get the money to pay for water or electricity. We struggle sometimes because of lack of funds. But they can throw millions, they can throw billions into every pervert leftist organization on the planet. What I thought was even more shocking in many ways, if you could imagine it, is USAID was funding Antifa, and they were funding BLM, the Black Lives Matter George Floyd riots of 2020, also funded by USAID. And just in an aside, they've also had their frauds exposed in Venezuela and rigging elections in South America and Central America, funding the Ukraine war, biological warfare laboratories. You know that Ukraine's one of the most corrupt countries in the world, certainly the most corrupt country in Europe. And USAID has helped fund that and bring that about. The amount of wastage, think how many people's jobs were wrecked, how many people's income was sabotaged, how many people's lives were ruined, how many people's loved ones died without them even being able to visit them in the hospital because of the COVID lockdown nonsense, which came from the Fauci's and the so-called CDC, Center for Disease Control. Well, they do control disease, I suppose. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. stated in Berlin back in 2020, governments love pandemics. They love pandemics for the same reason they love war. Pandemics give them the ability to impose controls on a population that the population would otherwise never accept. Pandemics enable them to create institutions and mechanisms for orchestrating and imposing obedience. And that he said on August the 29th in Berlin, 2020, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I am glad to see that he's got access to the Health and Human Services at last. I hope that he exposes more of the corruption and the fake pandemics, fake vaccines, and other things that have been funded and pushed out by the deep state, because we've been told so often, safe and effective. And it's been proven, no, they weren't safe, they weren't effective, and they weren't even necessary. And the same people who produced the vaccines produced the virus. So I think all of our conspiracy theories have been exposed. And now we know that all these different leftist organizations, Rent-A-Mob, from BLM, George Floyd, Antifa crowds, even in South Africa, our roads must fall, mobsters, our different fees must fall, Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF, the Black Land First, all these people, movements, funded as far afield as Tajikistan and South Africa, funded by USAID. And so it's important that we stand up and speak out against these sort of things. Professor Martin Luther said, if I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the word of God, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. The scripture says in Psalm 94, verse 16, who will rise up for me against evildoers? Who will make a stand for me against the workers of iniquity? And we as Christians need to stand up and step out and speak out against these evils. And to think that these criminals have been stealing from taxpayers' monies to fund things that the people on the ground wouldn't fund. I've often wondered, where did these bizarre thugs, these perverts and subversives, leftists and so on, where did they get all their money from to organize the big events, the literature, the T-shirts, the baseball caps, the videos, the websites, all the different things that they've got that they can organize big fundraising drives and have these expensive meal promotional events and so on, adverts in the mass media, and then you suddenly find it's actually all been rigged. And it's totally rigged when you have to really struggle to get your funding to be able to print your newsletters or to broadcast your show and to pay for the websites and so on. But you've got these others who've got a slush fund of millions and even billions to be able to fund every leftist project around the world. This just shows we have been dealing with a fraudulent situation, and I think we've just had somebody pull back the curtain and see that the wizard behind the curtain is actually just really a fraudster and a thief who's manipulating news, manipulating opinions. And we can actually see this is the sort of things that's been documented by some good books. Over the years, we had, for example, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, how Wall Street funded the Soviet Revolution. Professor Anthony Sutton produced the book, The Best Enemy Money Can Buy, showing how the West was funding the buildup of the Soviet Red Army and the Red Chinese as well, and the toppling of the Shah of Iran and how the media was involved in that. And then we've got the books by John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, that he was hired by the USAID to go to third world countries, mainly in Africa, persuade them to take out unrealistically large loans, which would make them economic prisoners because they couldn't possibly repay those loans. And so there's Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins documents how a lot of this works. And then he also produced the book, The Secret American Empire, or The Secret History of the American Empire, The Truth About Economic Hitmen, Jackals, and How to Change the World. And that was followed up with Economic Hitmen, The Hidden Powers That Corrupt the World, as by Pedro Morales. And there are hidden powers that corrupt the world, and USAID has been exposed as one of those deep state slush funds that's played a key part in this. And when you consider Death by Government by Professor R.J. Rummel, where he documented that governments have funded the biggest massacres and the worst thievery imaginable, and the Black Book of Communism documenting the crimes, terror, and repression of Soviet regimes, who were often given power by Western actions, such as the Yalta Agreement, where the leaders of the free world, so-called Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, conspired to betray the people of Eastern Europe, over 150 million Christians, into the hands of the worst anti-Christian dictator on the planet, Joseph Stalin's Soviet Union, who crushed those poor people for over 45 years. In Eastern Europe. And when you consider these sort of things, now you understand today, I think it seems that the USAID has been doing what the KGB used to do, subversion in countries in order to bring about collapse of countries. My home country of Rhodesia was betrayed by US involvement, and USAID was involved in the betrayal of the Congo and Katanga. They were involved in the betrayal of South Africa. They've been funding many of the agencies, even terrorist groups, even Hamas, getting all kinds of funding from this USAID organization. So it's staggering. USAID is it's basically a slush fund for subversion and perversion, for wars, revolutions, and for regime change, even pandemics worldwide. Back to you, Andrew.
Thank you, Peter. I'm just going to put you on mute while the feed catches up with me, because I will be getting feedback from your side. A couple of things. First, I'm going to read, because when I heard about this USAID and foreign journalists, I saw that it only came into existence under JFK. But I was immediately reminded of a story from my book, The Synagogue of Satan, that you can get on my publisher's website, thesynagogueofsatan.com. This is from an entry from 1935 relating to the New York Post, in which they stated the following. We rejoice to learn that on May the 14th, 1935, the Cantonal Court of Bern, Switzerland, openly denounced the so-called Protocols of the Elders of Zion as forgeries, obvious plagiarism, immoral and manifestly prepared for the purpose of inciting popular passion against the Jews. Firstly, this is my comments, why would a newspaper rejoice at anything when they make out they are objective and simply report the news? Also, why does it state the protocols are a forgery, the definition of which is an almost identical copy of an original document, as opposed to a fake, which is something that is not genuine? We then discover something that the New York Post don't rejoice about. Indeed, they don't even print the story along with the rest of the mainstream press. The story being, in relation to the aforementioned trial, the defendants were acquitted by the Swiss Court of Appeals on November the 1st, 1937. The principal defendant, Silvio Schnell, also had the entire 30,000 francs cost of the trial that had been billed to him, borne by the state. The decision to overturn the verdict and reverse the costs was not a difficult one to come to when it was discovered that the original judge, Judge Mayer, did not allow any of the 40 witnesses for the defence to testify, whilst 16 of the witnesses provided by the complainant, the Federation of Jewish Communities of Switzerland, had been allowed to testify. Furthermore, the proceedings of the trial were not taken down by an official of the court, as Swiss law demanded. Instead, they were recorded by two Jewish stenographers supplied by the plaintiffs. And then I also want to move on to what Peter said about the BBC licence being compulsory. Because I thought, I've got to clarify this, because it's not actually compulsory. But when I went onto Google and I typed in why you need TV license, I could imagine how many people would agree with Peter. Because this is the top response I get from that search term, AI overview. A TV license is a legal requirement in the UK that allows you to watch and record TV on any device. It also allows you to watch live TV on streaming services and use a BBC iPlayer. Well, there's more to it than that. But I scrolled down and you get a few questions and answers. What can I watch without a TV license? Now, bear in mind, this isn't included in the AI overview at the top, but it takes you to the AI overview again, just something they didn't bother including at the top. You can legally watch on-demand content without a TV license, including catch-up programs on services like ITVX, All4 and My5, on-demand movies and TV shows on services like Netflix, Amazon Prime and Disney Plus. You don't need a TV license if you don't watch live TV on any channel, pay TV service or streaming service. Now, the key about the TV license is live TV and recording live TV as well. So I'll tell you how ridiculous it gets. This includes YouTube. Now, I don't watch or record anything live. I'm always going to people's archive shows, downloading them, stuff like that. But say someone did a live stream on YouTube out of, well, Michael Francesi, for example. He's a YouTuber that I look at, that I've mentioned before. If I was to click on him broadcasting on YouTube out of America and watch him doing that live, I would need a TV license in this country. The only time I could conceive of doing that is a few years ago when we had volcanic activity at Cumbre Vieja over in the Canary Islands, and of course I'm well aware, as many of you will be, that when that finally blows, that's going to cause a mega tsunami that could cause devastation to the coast of the United States, the Miami, Florida area, etc. So you're sort of watching it, seeing, is this going to be the big one? I hope it isn't. But every morning I used to go on there, because what had happened is, whilst fortunately the volcano didn't blow properly, there was lava and what have you, there was actually a little cockerel that had become known as Rusty the Rooster on the channel, because he used to be making his encouraging noises as the sun was coming up every day, and it was quite fun to go on there and hear him doing that. Well, I would have to have a TV license to watch something like that, because that is live. So I wanted to clarify it for you, and let's go back to Peter for his comments. Peter, over to you.
Yes, well, the one thing that's interesting, mentioning that, yes, USAID was created by American President John F. Kennedy back in the early 1960s, but the reason he launched USAID was to counter the Soviet subversion being organized through the KGB and its active measures. And so originally, the goal of USAID was to fund anti-communist activities and to counter the communist subversion being done by the Soviets during the Cold War. But over the years, particularly under the Clinton and Obama regimes, USAID has gotten more and more radical and communist, to the point where I would say USAID has most recently been used to promote communism and to advance the communist revolution worldwide. So intriguing that what John F. Kennedy envisaged was turned to its exact opposite over the last 50 years. And the other thing that I neglected to mention is USAID has been exposed for having funded lawfare. Now, we have probably all heard about the amount of prosecutors in America who are funded by George Soros. Well, it turns out that George Soros was a minor funder of these prosecutors in so-called blue states, where they performed lawfare on any conservatives who were perceived as a threat to the leftist agenda. It turns out USAID was funding the prosecutors in one-third of the United States. So one-third of the population of the United States is under the predations of these prosecutors who have been funded by George Soros and USAID. The very prosecutors who went after Donald Trump while he was trying to campaign for the presidency were funded by USAID. Can you imagine it? But it's worse than that. The USAID has been funding lawfare, or legal harassment and persecution, of populist leaders all over Europe. And we're talking about everyone from Geert Wilders in the Netherlands to Viktor Orban in Hungary, going after any populist leader, of course, Alternative for Deutschland in Germany, any populist leaders, including in Italy, the Brotherhood Movement, where they are also being targeted. So USAID has been funding the prosecutions and the lawsuits that have harassed conservatives, not just in the United States, but throughout Europe as well. And I wonder how much of their harassments have come all the way through to Cape Town. We know they funded some of the riots on the streets. In fact, one man, Mike Benz, who investigated USAID a lot, said there's not one legitimate project in USAID on God's green earth, quote unquote. Said they all have ulterior motives and they're all used for espionage. And they've even gone on to having some, according to Mike Benz, there's been vaccination drives in Africa which were actually sterilization drives. And that's been proven, for example, in Kenya. The Christian Post has an expose on that. And there have been Catholic doctors who actually analyzed the so-called vaccination that they were giving in Kenya that actually turned out to be sterilization. But they've also been funding legal campaigns to advance their causes in Africa. We know some of the most troubling groups, you know, such as EFF, the Economic Freedom Fighters, who are all dressed in red with their zombie dance, kill the Boer, kill, kill, shoot to kill, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. And you've seen this. You've got thousands of people in the stadium all dancing their zombie dance, chanting kill after Julius Malema. Well, it turns out they were getting money from USAID as well. So it seems that the West has been run by thieves and criminals who have been stealing from the taxpayers to fund things which most of the taxpayers would find diametrically opposed to everything they stand for. I mean, imagine how many people are pro-life and yet they find out some of their tax money, in your case, tax pounds in Britain, tax dollars in America, have gone to fund not only gender-affirming care, which means mastectomies and castrations and so on. There's nothing a therapy or affirming about their radical transgender surgeries and mutilations, but funding abortions, even funding legal harassment of people who are trying to speak up for their people and their constituencies. So let's not be surprised that the enemies of freedom and the enemies of Christianity are well-funded. The funding is coming from our tax money. And amazing how many people are screaming blue murder because Donald Trump and Elon Musk are closing the taps for all this corruption pouring in. And they should be more outraged about the facts being uncovered and the misuse of their money than they are about the fact that somebody's interfering in these slush funds, which are obviously a colossal cover for corruption, phenomenal corruption. And again, those of us who were saying that the Arab Spring was coordinated by people from outside, the people who are saying the Ukraine coup in 2014 was organized by the U.S. State Department, all these conspiracy theories have now been proven to be actually conspiracy facts. They were conspiracies, but they're no longer theories. They're now facts. Back to you, Andrew.
Thank you, Peter. And on that note as well, I just want to make one quick point. I'm very much doom and gloom, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, if you listen to my daily I'm Talking to You shows. I don't believe that there's any political figure that is going to actually help us. But I always hope that I'm wrong, and that's why I'm delighted to hear Peter's encouragement regarding this. I believe that it's, you know, these are some of the carrots they're going to give us for something else, the likes that we've already seen with Donald Trump's support of Israel, which flies in the face of the international community based upon what they've done in Gaza. But again, I'm happy to be proven wrong on these levels, and certainly one cannot argue with the exposure of this USAID. I only hope that it filters over to countries like South Africa, where Peter is, and the UK, where I am, and they take their iron grip off the censorship, certainly, that we've been experiencing here in the UK. And something else I want to throw in quickly is the... When Peter was talking about JFK, I wanted to look up the busing situation. I don't believe he brought busing in when he was president, but I did after the search term into Google, did JFK bring in school busing? An article came up from the New York Times, which you have to pay to access, so I can only give you the headline. It says, Kennedy says he opposes distant busing of students. Now, this is from September the 9th, 1964, and it's, of course, relating to Robert F. Kennedy, because JFK had been assassinated by then. And the reason I'm interested in the busing of students situation here in the UK with regard to the USA is I had someone on my show once who was one of these students who drew the short straw, and they were bused over 2 hours there and over 2 hours back every day to school. Now, I was not a big fan of school. Okay, so the idea of adding 2 hours onto the start of a school day and 2 hours onto the end would have been horrible. But this is something that people thought was acceptable for students to go through based upon their own ideologies. And I don't believe Peter, well, I know that Peter didn't have a good time at school either, because I've read his book Frontline Behind Enemy Lines for Christ, which is a biography of both the Frontline Fellowship Ministry and Peter. And there's some fascinating stories in it. If you've not read a Dr. Peter Hammond book, for me, this is the one to go in for. Start off with this one. So I'm going to hand back to Peter now, ask him to let you all know where you can get this book, and then give you details of his websites where you can contact him. So Peter, back to you.
Thank you. I've put together a whole lot of pictures documenting what we are talking about with the Arab Spring and the Ukraine war and the COVID cult and these other bizarre LGBTQ critical race theory funding projects of USAID. But you can get that on our website, www.frontlinemissionsa.org. So Frontline Mission SA, short for South Africa. So it's frontlinemissionsa.org. On that website, you'll see audio and video links and our Reformation Society presentations and our books like Faith Under Fire in Sudan, Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam, and Frontline Behind Enemy Lines for Christ. These are some of our books that you can obtain, ebooks, print on demands, or the hard copies directly from Frontline Fellowship and our book ministry, Christian Liberty Books. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you, Peter. And I understand you have a Facebook page and an email address for yourself and the ministry.
Yes, my email is peter@frontline.org.za. peter@frontline.org.za. And of course, you'll see Peter Hammond and Frontline Fellowship on Facebook, Literature for Africa as well. And you'll find all sorts of interesting pictures. We would love to hear from you. There's a lot of great things on the go right now. We've got missions in the Congo to Zambia, Swaziland, Zambia and Zimbabwe on the go. There's so much we're expecting. In fact, soon I'll be in KwaZulu for a ministers' conference where we're expecting over 2,000 ministers from over 60 countries to come together. It's the biggest ministers' conference in Africa, and we're part of it every year. And thank you for all your prayers and support and thoughts.
Thank you, Peter. And, Peter has many other websites as well. They're all included in the post for this show. So if you're ever sat at the computer and you're twiddling your thumbs to what to look at, go to one of Peter's show posts on my website, achshow.com, and just start clicking and looking through some of the links. You might find some sermons that sound very familiar to you, because most of the traditional Christian message, I have used the sermons of Dr. Peter Hammond. So his work has become invaluable to that. So that being said, let's play the closing music. I want to thank Peter so much for joining us today on a show entitled The Real Story of How US Aid Reveals That Conspiracies that are no longer a theory. Peter and I'll be back with you again next Tuesday. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and bye for now.